There's a certain kind of look that the most famous Masonic temples have. Big white columns, stained glass windows. Though smaller than some, the Masonic temple in Rhinelander has been around since 1930 and fits right in. Once you're inside, the most interesting room is arguably the lodge room, where ceremonies take place.
Are you ready to see the coolest room in Rhinelander?
Oh my gosh, I'm ready.
Well, you stay here, I'll turn the lights on first.
It's an oh my gosh moment.
The high ceilings of the lodge room make it feel bigger than it already is. Elevated in the back of the room are three chairs beneath an illuminated letter G.
We can give you the architectural dimensions, but that doesn't even come close to explaining what it is.
Tony Jones is the one leading a tour of the Rhinelander Masonic Temple today, because he's currently in charge of it. This is his official title.
I am the worshipful master.
He points out one of the most famous symbols to me, the square and compasses with the letter G.
The compasses teach us to circumscribe our behavior and keep us within due bounds of all mankind. And the G represents geometry, but in a bigger sense, it represents God.
Jones acknowledges that there is still a certain air of mystery about the Freemasons, but he says that the Masons are really just a group of men who support one another as they try and be better versions of themselves. He makes it very clear that the Rhinelander Masonic Temple is not a mysterious place.
You know, you don't open up a door and all of a sudden there's a half a dozen rolls from the library to Alexandretta.
As is the case for many small towns, the Masons were instrumental in building Rhinelander in the early days. In 1930, the town of Rhinelander raised $50,000 to build the Masonic Temple.
Which is a tremendous amount of money for a town this size going through a depression.
They're also the oldest civic group, and they laid the cornerstone for the library and the courthouse. Whole rooms upstairs are full of historical portraits of Rhinelander's early Masons.
You start seeing some of the street names when you start looking at the roles of members here, of what they did, the school board, the telephone company. You know, it's almost limitless what these men came up here to do. And then when you look at all these pictures, they came up here by wagon train or on foot or by horse-drawn carriage. And they built something out of the woods. And that's where we stand today.
Stories like this are why some people think the Freemasons run the world. And in a way, they kind of have. Many United States presidents were Masons, and Jones admits that when he travels, he has taken advantage of the vast network and been welcomed into many lodges, after proving he's a Mason himself, of course. He says the way Masons identify each other is something he likes to keep secret. Today, the Rhinelander Masons are still a men's-only lodge, but otherwise they're open to new members as long as they believe in some form of a higher power. Their official roster has 75 members, with about 15 being considered active.
The three major tenets of Freemasonry are friendship, morality, and brotherly love. Part of being a Freemason is the ability to give back to your community.
Giving back to the community is a huge part of what their Masonic Lodge is trying to do now. But it didn't used to be like that. It all changed about 2 years ago, prompted by a decision from Wisconsin's Grand Lodge.
The most worshipful Grand Master of the state of Wisconsin sent a note, an edict out to all the lodges saying it's time to become family friendly again. A lot of the lodges were kind of shrinking in number, and so that wasn't going out.
We got together and said, you know, our organization can go one of two ways.
Bob Dionne is second in command at the Rhinelander Lodge.
Either we can keep doing what we're doing and just dry up and blow away, or we can change.
So they decided to bring the Masonic Temple back to the old days of being a community building. They even host weddings and other parties now. Both of them feel like they're now using the building for the purpose it was meant to be used for.
This is where all the dances were. All the high school dances. My mother-in-law said she came to prom here.
This was all happening at the same time Masonic lodges across the country were moving out of their temples, forced to downsize. It's not all bad, though. In some communities, it's created a new kind of community space. Minocqua Brewing Company in Minocqua used to be a Masonic temple, and the former Masonic temple in Wausau was recently sold and turned into a music venue. Kelly Ballard is one of the owners of the new Whitewater Music Hall, which opened in May. She says the history of the building is a big part of the reason she loves it. They barely changed anything when they moved in.
Well, the layout is one thing. I mean, it's perfect as far as they have their like gathering room, plus their ceremonial room serves our purposes of having a tap room and a music space.
Ballard says Whitewater Music Hall wants to be a stage for everyone in the greater Wausau community. And she's excited to be in a building that she thinks was overlooked for the last few years. But she also knows it'll take some time to rebrand themselves.
Until this first generation dies, this will always be the Masonic Temple.
She's hoping a mural on one of the walls next year will help. So in the end, what purpose do Masonic temples serve in the community? It depends on the community. No matter what Masonic temple you're in, though, there's likely a lot of history and a few secrets. We have contact information and photos of both the Rhinelander Masonic Temple and the former Wausau Masonic Temple at wxpr.org/curiousnorth. Mackenzie Martin, WXPR News.